This is the second chapter of Literary Movements, the Reformation. The Reformation, the religious movement in Europe, was a rebellion against the firmly established Roman Catholic Church in the 16th century. Its aim was to remove the vices and abuses crept in the church, revive the past glory of Christianity, and establish the Reformed or the Protestant churches. The Reformation advocated the spirit of inquiry in the spheres of religion, shattering the medieval scholastic shackles which had chained the layman for centuries. It lifted the heavy weight of old limitations upon thought and learning. Virtually, the ultimate goal of the Reformation was to retrieve a simpler and more spiritual form of Christianity in accordance with the life of Christ. After enjoying its full sway, Christianity, before the Reformation movement, encountered a profound crisis. It had become rotten, degenerated, and impure. The church, suffering from numerous evils, had become a great barrier for the free development of the individual mind. It had its presence and interference in all walks of life. It owned much land, controlled education, and laid down principles for the guidance of government and society, marriage and family. Above all, the church, as the guardian of eternal truth, meditated humanity's salvation. The Pope of Rome, the supremo of the Catholic Church, was considered the root cause of corruption, despotism and tyranny of the church. The clergy, unmindful of their duties and responsibilities, were leading a life of comfort, luxury, and power and prestige. Immorality and crime were prevalent in monastic institutions. The abbey had ceased to learn, to teach, to record, to illumine. Inspiration and initiative appear to have deserted them. In this setting, the perverted Christendom, standing in the dire need of reform, pleaded the sternest and sharpest remedies. The Lutherans' Creed. The controversy over the proper interpretation of the Christian faith began in Germany in 1517 with Martin Luther's 1484 to 1546 95 Theses, THESES. Luther felt the church was too worldly, the papacy too far removed in Rome, the clergy too greedy, the religion of the people allowed to be too vulgar. So, he launched an attack on Roman Catholic Church and Pope, formulating the Lutheran Creed, which had three vital dimensions. First, he openly asserted the individual dignity. Man is capable enough to cultivate spirituality and establish a direct and personal relationship with God. There is no need of intermediary, of priest or church. He gave an emphasis on faith. If a man had faith, he could be saved despite his inherent and desperate wickedness. Luther concluded, "Works were of no avail. Pilgrimages and ceremonies, the telling of beads, the lighting of candles, the worship of relics were only obstruction on the pathway to salvation. Faith, the condition of grace, the reward of faith were all mattered in the dark history of predestined man." Secondly, Luther ridiculed, criticized, and scorned priesthood and demolished the medieval barrier between the sacred and the secular, between the church and the world. And thirdly, Luther's movement was imbued with national spirit. He challenged the concept of Holy Roman Empire and paved the way for national liberty along with the individual liberty. The nationalist forces expressed their resentment on the papal interference in politics as well as internal affairs of different countries. Thus, Luther spoke not only in the mind of Germany, but the better mind of his church itself. Soon the Reformation found its articulation in other countries of Europe, in France by Calvin, C-A-L-V-I-N, in Switzerland by Zwingli, Z-W-I-N-G-L-I, etc. The Reformation gave birth to several new churches and religious traditions: Lutheran, Calvinist, Anglican, Anabaptist, Anti-Trinitarian, all anti-Roman Catholic in outlook and collectively known as Protestants because they protested against the monopoly of the Pope, asserted the autonomy of the individual, and transformed the concept of the universal church to the idea of national churches. Thus, Protestantism was, after all, the religion of the freedom of the Christian individual. It gave a new dimension and pondered deeply over the basic problems of life, problems of education, law, commerce, and personal behavior. They all treated with eagerness and enthusiasm. English Reformation. In England, the Reformation began with Henry VIII's breach with the papacy. He had sought the Pope's sanction to secure the divorce of his queen, Catherine of Aragon, A-R-A-G-O-N, but as the Pope evaded his request, he discarded the papal authority in England. He separated the English Church from the Church of Rome and himself assumed the title of the Supreme Head of the Church. From the nature of its reign, it is clear that the Reformation in England, did not begin as a religious movement. It owed its origin to the personal motives of the king. Henry broke with the Pope not because he disliked the rites and doctrines of the Roman churches, but because he would not allow the papal authority to interfere with his own policy. Hence, the Reformation in England was, to a great extent, a political movement. Another peculiarity in English Reformation was that it was in no sense a national or popular movement. The initiative was taken by the king and not by the people. Here, it differs from the Reformation in Germany, where it was both a religious as well as national movement. The Puritan movement. In the 16th and 17th centuries, a member of a religious group of the Protestant Church who wished to make religion simpler and less ceremonial was called a Puritan. The Puritans demanded rigid austerity, exacting severity, and strictness in moral and religious dimensions. Separated from the traditional ways of worship, they established a national church. William J. Long observes, "In its broadest sense, the Puritan movement may be regarded as a second and greater renascence, a rebirth of moral nature of man following the intellectual awakening of Europe in the 15th and 16th century. It aimed to make man honest and to make them free. Puritanism nourished in the very bosom of the Renaissance and remained for half a century between 1603 and 1660, and more particularly between 1620 and 1660. Historically, this is this period of political agitation and moral revolution. In their struggle for liberty and righteousness, the Puritans oust the degenerate and tyrannical monarchy, beheaded Charles I, and established the Commonwealth under Cromwell, Cromwell. The restoration of Charles II in 1660 is generally regarded the end of the Puritan age. The age has no distinct limits. It overlaps the Elizabethan age on the one side and the Restoration age on the other. The Reformation as the product as well as reaction against the Renaissance. The Reformation is one of the dimensions of the Renaissance. Both were the products of the same impulse of freedom. In this connection, Crompton Rickett writes, "In Germany, it, the Renaissance, speaks through the intellect. Thus, it is that from the first the awakening assumed in Germany a religious character, it merged at once into Reformation. The Reformation was also a reaction against the Renaissance and tempered its decay and licentiousness in Italy. Italy had degenerated into a land of unspeakable debauchery, debauchery, the country of Machiavellism, crime and poison. In England, both came simultaneously in the 16th century. That is why English literature escaped from the excesses and degeneration of the Renaissance. On the whole, the spirit of the Renaissance includes the traits of Hellenism, aestheticism, sensuousness, love of beauty, and human passions. While the Reformation stands for otherworldliness, spiritual favor, religious orientation, moral austerity, discipline, and love of virtue. The impact of the Reformation on English literature. Like the Renaissance, the Reformation also influences English literature in several ways. It is marked by lofty aim, moral purpose, high seriousness, qualities of faith, love of virtue, and the spirit of nationalism and patriotism. The historical plays of Shakespeare are the noblest examples of this newly kindled Reformation, patriotism, and nationalism. Ben Jonson, the product of the Reformation, is the representative of reason, morality, and knowledge, and reacts against cupidity, avarice, and Machiavellism. His comedies are basically moral and expose human frailties, foibles, and follies. The aim of Shakespeare is to enrapture, while that of Ben Jonson is to reform. Taken as a whole, English literature is remarkably healthy-minded, manly, vigorous, and sound. The Reformation literature is realistic, idealistic, intellectual, and satirical. It tries to root out evils from the contemporary society. Literature with a didactic purpose is bound to be analytical and self-critical. The Reformation age saw the growth of satire in every branch of literature, in prose, in poetry, and on the stage. Joseph Hall and Marston are known as satirists. Milton's poetry also exposes human folly, vice, and sin. The Reformation poetry bears a mark of religious zeal, spiritual discipline, and the biblical devotion. Milton's poetry, especially the Paradise Lost, is a grander expression of Christian feeling and conviction. There are other devotional poets whose leader is John Donne. He is the great poet of the metaphysical school of poetry. The love of man for a woman is blended in these poets with a keen awareness of the shortness of life and the temporary nature of worldly pleasure. This group includes George Herbert, H-E-R-B-E-R-T, Richard Rashaw, R-I-C-H-A-R-D, Richard, C-H-R-A-S-H-A-W, Henry Vaughan, V-A-U-G-H-A-N, and Andrew Marvell. Some of them seek permanent solace in the delights of spiritual experience. Spencer's Fairy Queen, F-A-E-R-I-E-Q-U-E-E-N-E, combines both the Renaissance and the Reformation spirits. In the words of Compton Rickett, Spencer is at once the child of the Renaissance and the Reformation. The Reformation also leaves its magnificent impact on English prose. The Bible, translated from Latin version by Wycliffe, W-Y-C-L-I-F. It is translated from the original Hebrew and Greek by Tyndale, T-Y-N-D-A-L-E. Tyndale's translation is completed by Miles Coverdale, M-I-L-E-S-C-O-V-E-R-D-A-L-E, in 1535. These translations pave for the publication of the authorized version of the Bible in 1611. This is a monumental work with far-reaching consequences on the evolution of English prose. English writers use not only the biblical idiom and phraseology, but also restore to the biblical allusions and references. John Bunyan, B-U-N-Y-A-N, John Foulkes, and John Knox, K-N-O-X, lend simplicity, dignity, and elevation to prose. In addition to this, the Book of Common Prayers, the pamphlets of Milton, and many chronicles also highlight to good practical prose style as a result of this democratic urge of the Reformation. Now, this chapter is over.